second hour of Spingola's Fix. This is Deanna Spingola, and we're talking about Japan. And thanks to Bob in D.C., he mentioned a movie and then told me how to pronounce Manchu Kuo. Okay, Manchu Kuo. I don't know how I was saying, but I know it was wrong. People who read a lot and don't listen much or attend movies that you know, give you the pronunciations, well, what can I say? Robert B. Stinnett spent 17 years researching Japan's Pearl Harbor attack, all substantiated by official documents obtained through the Freedom of Information Act. He wrote that there were, in 1941, 22 Pacific Rim radio intercept stations, including four cryptographic centers, especially set up to decode Japanese diplomatic and military communications. The Netherlands government was in exile in London right after the beginning of the war. The communications network extended from America's west coast to China's east coast and from Dutch Harbor, Alaska, to Batavia, located on the island of Java in the Dutch East Indies. The United States supervised at least 15 of these monitoring stations. Prior to Pearl Harbor, Tokyo sent daily bomb plots cabled from its Honolulu consulate to the attack fleet using JN-24 or -25 radio messages, a very old code. Roosevelt also received these messages, yet the U.S. government still refuses to release any of those JN-25 messages because it would reveal that both Roosevelt and Churchill monitored the Japanese attack fleet all the way to Pearl Harbor. According to testimony at the International Military Tribunal for the Far East, Hirohito, dressed in full military uniform, also monitored all radio transmissions from Admiral Yamamoto's flagship during the night of December 7th to the 8th, 1941. After the war, Japanese officials portrayed Hirohito as a peace lover who they kept completely ignorant of all warfare decisions and activities. Feigning ignorance or incompetence are oft used political ploys. Britain and the United States declared war on Japan on December 8, 1941, 24 hours after Japan's Pearl Harbor attack. Predictably, Japan's attack on Pearl Harbor sank or severely damaged 19 ships belonging to the U.S. Pacific Fleet. Additionally, the Japanese either destroyed or critically disabled 340 naval and army aircraft. Roosevelt had sent all of the newer ships to the Atlantic, probably in preparation for warfare with Germany, Japan's ally. The remaining ships in Pearl Harbor were from World War I. In his testimony before Congress, Admiral Claude C. Block said, and I quote, "The Japanese only destroyed a lot of old hardware. In a sense, they did us a favor," unquote. Our war declaration against Japan was an automatic war declaration against Germany, the ultimate goal of Pearl Harbor. In order to immediately assign guilt to the Japanese and dispel any suspicion from his administration, Roosevelt initiated an investigation. On December 18, 1941, he issued an executive order creating a commission to investigate any U.S. Army and Navy personnel who might be guilty of dereliction of duty. Can you believe this? Yet, I guess it is believable. We've seen it. We saw it before that. We've seen it since. Yet the commission was restricted and could not consider elected officials who supervised the military, you know, like the president and Stimson and all those people. Stimson actually chose three of the five commission members. Stacked commissions typically exonerate the guilty and blame others who are either dead or completely maligned. The public. Oh, okay, we have a break. We'll be right back. 3 minutes.
You know that maintaining your health is getting harder than ever. GMO, chemtrails, designer viruses, toxins, and mysterious syndromes make it very difficult to protect yourself and loved ones. So what can you do? How can you fight back and own your health? What if powerful technology existed designed to help you optimize your physical and mental well-being, correct chronic issues, and extend your quality of life? Skeptical? Sure. We were too, but results don't lie. Your body's an energy system, and the future of medicine will use non-toxic bioenergy to rejuvenate your cells with the perfect living energy they're made from. How do we know? Because that future began nearly 100 years ago and lives on today because of powerful results. T8 is a breakthrough technology that's transforming the science of bioenergetic rejuvenation. To learn why over 800 holistic practitioners and people just like you bought T8s over the past 3 years, visit antiaging8.com. That's antiaging, the numeral 8, .com, or call 979-227-2277. 979-227-2277.
Golden Stag Safaris invites you to hunt in one of Argentina's most beautiful scenarios. Enjoy the quietness of the Pampas and the five-star accommodation lodge. Excellent food and wine included in your stay, all the while hunting big game in the Argentine Valley. An area known for having a wide range of game, excellent trophies, the biggest stags in South America, as well as many other species. All gold medal quality. One-on-one guided hunts, rental guns available with the highest quality scopes in every caliber, Land Rovers for transport, pickup at Buenos Aires Airport, and a private aircraft for charter is all available. Go to www.goldenstagsafaris.com to see photos and for more information. Again, www.goldenstagsafaris.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Welcome back. This is Deanna. Stat commissions, meaning government commissions that they stack whomever is going to be on the commission. Stat commissions typically exonerate the guilty and blame others who are either dead or completely maligned. The public, either naive or ignorant, accept commission findings or government versions of any catastrophic event as if the investigation was objective and concise, despite glaring evidence to the contrary. The commission, by design, never considered Roosevelt and his duplicitous, murderous cronies. Stimson chose Owen Josephus Roberts, an associate U.S. Supreme Court justice, to head the commission. Roberts, an interventionist and an internationalist who, like many others, believes that the United States should lead the world in creating an international court. He gave a renowned speech, The National Security Constitution in an Age of Globalization. A world court would adjudicate a profusion of humanitarian abuses while building credibility for global governance. Because of the impending election, Roosevelt hoped to avoid a congressional inquiry by appointing his own investigation headed by Roberts due to those ever-present alleged national security issues. A commission was unable to examine any relevant records regarding Japan's radio intercepts. The Navy's intercept operators were not allowed to testify or produce their radio logs, documents, or anything that revealed the facts. Roosevelt made certain that the commission did not have any information that exposed the administration's part in the operation. The commission was informed about some of the Japanese intercepted messages before Pearl Harbor, but they were not told the contents. The commission blamed General Short and Admiral Kimmel, the commanders in Hawaii, and accused them of dereliction of duty. They accused them of failing to follow defensive procedures and policies. Further, the commission reported that Admiral Stack and General Marshall acted honorably. Roosevelt reviewed the misleading report prior to its public release. Those who understand the actual circumstances rejected the commission's findings. Admiral James Richardson, Kimmel's predecessor, said, and I quote, "It is the most unfair, unjust, and deceptively dishonest document ever printed by the government printing office. I cannot conceive of honorable men serving on the commission without greatest regret and deepest feelings of shame," unquote. The public generally accepted the commission's conclusions. Congressional leaders praised the report, actually giving it undeserved credibility. Yet, like other government commissions, it was a complete whitewash. Government investigations are akin to the mafia investigating criminal activities. General Short had been friends with General Marshall for 40 years. Admiral Kimmel considered his boss, Admiral Stark, as a friend since their Naval Academy days. However, after the successful Pearl Harbor operation, some people received rewards and promotions while the government ruined the careers of others. Marshall chaired the Joint Chiefs of Staff while the government maligned and fired Kimmel and Short. On December 11, 1941, Rear Admiral Lee Noyce, the Navy's Director of Communications, imposed a 54-year censorship policy on the pre-attack Japanese military and diplomatic intercepts and any other relevant directives. All records were consigned to Navy vaults. Noyce denied issuing such an order, but later admitted that he may have even ordered the destruction of the records, which occurred just a few days before the President's Board of Inquiry. In August 1945, officials classified all extant documents as top secret, even to members of Congress. The war conspirators got us into the war. They included Standard Oil attorney Henry L. Stimson, an ally of J.P. Morgan banker Thomas W. Lamont, and a law partner with Elihu Root in a firm on Wall Street, the powerful nucleus of the American establishment. War Secretary Stimson, under Roosevelt and Truman, drafted and trained 12 million soldiers and airmen and directed the purchase through well-connected firms of 30% of the nation's industrial output to the battlefield. He was responsible for the internment and subsequent property seizure of thousands of Japanese-American citizens. Stimson contrived the economic provocations targeted at Japan to manipulate them into firing the first shot, facilitated by Japan-based Ambassador Joseph Grew and many well-placed members of the Institute of Pacific Relations who urged Japan's willing war hawk leaders to respond. Stimson supervised General Leslie R. Groves, head of the Manhattan Project, developers of the atomic bomb. Hollister Bundy, who was Skull and Bones, was Stimson's special assistant at the Pentagon for the Manhattan Project. His two sons, William and McGeorge Bundy, both Skull and Bones, followed in their father's global government footprints. Later, Stimson, a significant influence on President Harry S. Truman, personally chose Hiroshima and Nagasaki as the targets for the atom bombs, a message to the world at the beginning of the Cold War, and an excuse for the massive military buildup to shrink the U.S. Treasury while benefiting corporations associated with the military. In October 1944, a Navy and Army court deliberated possible foreknowledge and culpability surrounding Pearl Harbor. Between November 27th and December 6, 1941, officials in the state, war, and Navy departments received numerous pieces of information giving specific information about the imminent Japanese attack. In fact, if you go to my schedule page, you will see a newspaper, the two newspapers that were printed in Hawaii, talking about an attack over the, a possible attack over the weekend. So just click on that link on today's date. The courts found Washington officials guilty of not acting on information that caused the avoidable slaughter of over 2,400 individuals. When they revealed the verdict, General George C. Marshall, guilty as charged. Now, this is another kind of a court. This isn't the official commission, but this is another court that they had. General George C. Marshall, guilty as charged, offered his resignation, which, of course, his superiors rejected. Other issues overshadowed the verdict, and the public heard nothing about it. Marshall asserted under oath that he considered loyalty to his chief more imperative than loyalty to his country. Later, using the excuse of ill health, Marshall refused to appear before the Joint Congressional Committee that investigated the tragedy of Pearl Harbor. Do you suppose he ever took responsibility? Not in his lifetime. Congress ordered Stimson to open another investigation on Pearl Harbor. In 1944, he chose Christian Clausen, a 33rd-degree Freemason, an attorney and a former assistant U.S. attorney from San Francisco, to conduct a thorough, objective investigation. He interviewed dozens of people and submitted his report on September 14, 1945. He ultimately wrote a book about the investigation just before his death. When Clausen called on Harry Truman, he found him somewhat uncooperative and even unfriendly, until Clausen told him, and I quote, "When you were the Grand Master of the Masons in Missouri, I was Grand Orator of the Masonic Grand Lodge of California," unquote. Truman immediately bounded from his chair and began enthusiastically shaking Clausen's hand. Truman said, and I quote, "You'll have my complete cooperation, Henry," unquote. Roosevelt said to the U.S. Congress a month after Pearl Harbor, and I quote, "There never has been, there never can be, successful compromise between good and evil. Only total victory can reward the champions of tolerance and decency and faith," unquote. In April 1995, the Kimmel and Short families asked Congress to conduct an investigation as they wanted to clear the reputations of the two men who the original commission had accused of negligence and therefore were responsible for 2,400 and two American deaths and 1,282 wounded at Pearl Harbor. Congress conceded and conducted a one-day show hearing and opted to accept the earlier findings. Congress arbitrarily decided that Marshall, Roosevelt, and other officials did not withhold critical information from Admiral Kimmel or General Short. The Pentagon also conducted an investigation for 7 months under the direction of Edwin Dorn, the Undersecretary of Defense, who issued a 50-page report on December 1, 1995, rejecting the petitions of the Kimmel and Short families. Dorn agreed with the earlier conclusions. Is this just the most amazing thing? Isn't that something that, over almost 2,500 deaths, all this destruction, all planned and plotted by Churchill and by Roosevelt, both of which belonged to the Pilgrim Society, both of which were in full agreement of that earlier alliance that that the two countries agreed to back in 1897, the year of the first Zionist conference. We'll be back after a word from our sponsors.
Would you like to reclaim lost health? Are supplements only getting you so far? Hey, folks, my name is Franklin. I had a heart attack in 2006 that left me with a damaged valve, working at only 20% capacity and odds against being here now. Then I found RNA Drops, a patented completement formula that creates perfect cells in your body. My perfect cells helped me to regain heart function and more. What could your body do with perfect cells? For a limited time, you can find out for free. Go to franklinsrnadrops.com and get a free mini bottle, valued at $50 on its way. Just pay shipping and handling. While you're there, you can view our growing line of products and hear amazing stories of what these products have done for others. My story is there as well. That's franklinsrnadrops.com. Start reclaiming your health today by giving your body what it needs. I cannot wait to hear what your perfect cells are doing for you. Thank you.
Answer it! How can I stop these annoying collection calls?
Imagine being free from your debt without settling and with no payment plan, no negotiating or filing bankruptcy, and no attorneys. What if you could eliminate the risk from all your unsecured debt in about 90 days and keep all your money? You can. It's called Zero Debt Guarantee, and it works. There's no other program of its kind on the planet, and we guarantee the results in writing. Call now, 800-477-9256. Let our team of experts provide you with the resources to fight back, stop collection calls, and prevent and stop wage garnishments and bank levies. If you're facing foreclosure, we can help. Don't go it alone. Get free information now by calling 800-477-9256. Talk to an expert who has also completed our program. Call 800-477-9256 for free info or go to ZeroDebtGuarantee.com. That's 800-477-9256 or go to ZeroDebtGuarantee.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Deanna, and we're talking about Pearl Harbor. But oftentimes, we only hear what happened at Pearl Harbor. We don't hear about what happened in the Philippines. And this is really bad. What happened in the Philippines the day after? But let's start. Let me give you a little history. On November 27, 1941, the American military secretly began to construct the Del Monte Field in a meadow on the pineapple plantation, which was capable of accommodating heavy bombers. They completed it on December 5th with two runways, number one, which was the main runway, and number two, which was the pursuit runway. On December 6th, officials sent two squadrons of B-17s from Clark Field, which would be 16 of its 35 bombers, on Luzon down to Del Monte No. 1. However, there were no maintenance facilities or any equipment to support them there. On December 14, 1941, in response to the Japanese invasion, the American Army Air Forces sent three B-17s from the Del Monte Field to attack the landing force. They managed to hit a Japanese minesweeper and possibly a destroyer. They also hit nine naval aircraft based on the Legazpi Strip. The unescorted B-17s made a hasty retreat, but only one of them made it back to Del Monte. The Japanese only lost four fighters. Given the circumstances, it was apparent that the heavy bombers were incapable of operating effectively in the Philippines. Therefore, on December 15th, General Louis H. Brereton requested authority to move the B-17s to a base in Australia, 1,500 miles away, where the planes would be safe and receive proper servicing. He intended to operate from there, making Del Monte an advanced base from which to strike the Japanese in the Philippines. The first groups of B-17s left Del Monte that very day. Now, the Japanese land invasion of the Philippines occurred on December 22, 1941, and this was just 2 weeks after Pearl Harbor. And it's interesting, if we have time, I'll talk to you about what happened on December 8th in the Philippines, because the Japanese didn't just attack at Pearl Harbor, they also attacked in the Philippines. But anyway, the Japanese land invasion occurred on December 22, 1941, just 2 weeks after Pearl Harbor. General Douglas MacArthur was to use five delaying positions in central Luzon, according to the United States pre-war plan Orange, which he implemented on December 24, 1941. He sent General George Parker of the South Luzon Force, the commander of the second troops, which covered the eastern half of the peninsula, to Bataan to prepare defensive positions. Military forces under Major General Jonathan Wainwright would remain and resist the enemy on the beach and then depart for Bataan to wait reinforcements. This would allow those from military headquarters and various officials from the Philippine government to safely withdraw to Bataan. MacArthur's defense strategy, entitled Plan Orange, originally conceived by Rear Admiral Raymond P. Rogers, was in 1911. So they were right up to date, right, folks? The Joint Army and Navy Board formally adopted it in 1924. Although it was decades old, the military had thoroughly reviewed it and made no changes. On Christmas Eve, 1941, General MacArthur, his staff, President Manuel Quezon, his wife and three children, and leading government officials escaped from Manila to the Malinta Tunnel on the fortified island of Corregidor, which became the seat of Philippines government. Corregidor was an island in the entrance of Manila Bay, the best natural harbor in the Far East, and the site of the Del Monte Pineapple Plantation and the new airfield in Mindanao. Those departing government officials included Vice President Osmeña, Manuel Rocas, Chief Justice Jose Santos, Major General Basilio Valdez, Secretary of National Defense, Colonel Andre Soriano, Secretary of Finance, and Colonel Manuel Nieto. Quezon's departure caused apprehension and a feeling of hopelessness and despair. I mean, the President of the Philippines was leaving. On December 30th, 1941, President Quezon and Vice President Osmeño took their oaths of office from Chief Justice Santos, as they had been elected for a second term in November. Now, this is where it gets interesting. The gold reserves from the Treasury and the gold bullion from the Benque mines was transferred to the Malinta Tunnel, Corregidor's large, secure complex. President Franklin D. Roosevelt, through the Voice of Freedom, broadcast a message to the Filipino people on December 28, 1941, pledging his solemn support and promising, and I quote, "their freedom will be redeemed," unquote. Obviously, the U.S. government considered it a lost battle. On January 2, 1942, the Japanese entered Manila. Major General Wainwright's men, with their old and defective World War I Enfield rifles, were unable to prevent Japan's invading General Homa Masaharu from advancing to Manila. Apparently, they had no choice but to flee. This is deliberate defeat, people. All right, we're going to a break. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
This is an important message from HempUSA.org. For our listeners who are advancing in age, baby boomers, and to all who want to be healthy, we urge you to try our microplant powder and see the difference it makes in your life. Please visit HempUSA.org and read about microplant powder. It's easy to take, one heaping tablespoon in any liquid three times a day. Call 908-691-2608 or visit HempUSA.org. Please inform your family, friends, and relatives about this incredible product. It can change your life if you give it a chance. So try microplant powder today. Call 908-691-2608. In this toxic world, microplant powder can help now in cleaning out heavy metals, parasites, viruses, fungus, and bacteria. Please download our catalog at hempusa.org today.
Meet Jerry D.
Hi.
Jerry and his family, like you, are very concerned about world conditions and have gathered many emergency preparedness items, including Turtle Tough shelters.
We have added two 24-foot Turtle Toughs to our supplies and feel very secure knowing our large family is ready for whatever the future may bring.
Turtle Tough shelters are not tents. They are permanent yet portable four-season geodesic frame shelters that are as strong as a cabin at a fraction of the cost and are easy to set up, take down, and move anywhere. Available in two sizes. Get your Turtle Tough shelter and accessories included at TurtleToughShelters.com. That's Turtle, T-U-F-F, Shelters.com. Or call 801-623-3288. That's 801-623-3288. Or see them online at TurtleToughShelters.com. Turtle Tough Shelters, your all-season home away from home.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Alrighty, welcome back. This is Deanna. Now, I mentioned General MacArthur. That's Douglas MacArthur. He officially retired in December 1937, but he stayed on active duty. And on July 26, 1941, President Roosevelt recalled him to active duty in the U.S. Army and assigned him as the commander of the U.S. Army forces in the Far East, promoting him to a lieutenant general. And the entire Philippine Army, including Ferdinand Marcos, was inducted into the U.S. Army. And MacArthur was recalled, as I said, on July 26, 1941, the same day that Roosevelt froze all of the Japanese assets in the U.S. and closed the Panama Canal. General MacArthur, in September, he began organizing the Philippine Department Air Force, Department Air Force, and they kind of expected that maybe that Japan would attack the Philippines in the spring of 1942. And so MacArthur was in charge of getting the Philippine Army ready. And, you know, I don't know what else he was in charge of over there. But we do know that the State, War, and Navy departments received several warnings about the Japanese intentions regarding Pearl Harbor. And remember also that the U.S. sent decoding machines to the Philippines, to General MacArthur and Admiral Thomas Hart. However, they did not send, you know, those warning devices to Pearl Harbor. Now, what happened in Pearl in the Philippines is that he basically allowed MacArthur ordered, as I mentioned, the construction engineers to enlarge the field, the Del Monte plantation, pineapple plantation, and MacArthur's headquarters received word of the Pearl Harbor attack at 2:30 a.m. on December 8, 1941, and should have been prepared and vigilant. MacArthur radar tracked the progress of the Japanese planes as they approached the Philippines. He acknowledged them at 140, 100, 80, 60, all the way down to 20 miles away. Does this remind you of anything? All the way down to 20 miles away from their target. Then he gave an order to respond. When Japan's bombers appeared over Luzon, MacArthur's fighters were purportedly unable to find the enemy's planes. Hart, that's Admiral Hart, had almost two dozen submarines that could have provided defense, but he kept them in the port and did not interfere with the enemy assault. Soon after the attack on Pearl Harbor, Roosevelt relieved both Hawaiian commanders, remember General Walter Short and Admiral Husband E. Kimmel, from their assignments. The Japanese attacked 8 of the 10 warships that Hart sent south. And in 1945, Hart returned to the U.S. and was appointed to the Senate. And the attack on the Philippines occurred 10 hours after the Pearl Harbor attack on December 8th at 12:35 p.m. when 196 Japanese Navy bombers struck the U.S. air bases at Clark and Iba Fields. This assault effectively crippled the Far East Air Force of the U.S. Army Air Force, consisting of 35 long-range Boeing 4-engine B-17 bombers and 91 Warhawk fighters. It was the largest force outside of the U.S. Clark Field. It was the largest force outside of the U.S. Clark Field also lost the use of its radar units, those that MacArthur had used and apparently ignored. The Japanese attack against the Philippines by air, land, and sea forced the U.S. and Filipino troops into a total retreat on the Bataan Peninsula and later to the fortress of Corregidor within 2 weeks following the attack. And now I'm going to... Clark Field, U.S. Air Base, was utterly destroyed in 4 days, along with 75% of the planes. Americans who survived the Japanese assault against Clark Field were amazed at the precision bombing and destruction by the Mitsubishi-built Zero, apparently a remarkably superior fighting plane. The U.S. lost 2 bases in the Philippines because Japan immediately occupied the islands when MacArthur failed to respond to the impending attack following Pearl Harbor. This failure allowed Japan to continue savaging and plundering gold and other valuables throughout Asia without any U.S. military obstructions. That's a very important thing to remember, folks. On December 8, 1941, Japanese forces also attacked Hong Kong, the British Crown Colony, and the Dutch East Indies. Then they used the acquired bases in French Indochina to invade Thailand and launch an assault against Malaya. MacArthur's reaction to his entire Air Force being destroyed was an anomaly, to say the least. He sequestered himself in his room and refused to talk to anyone, including Major General Louis Brereton, the air commander. MacArthur had refused to attack air bases on Formosa despite orders from the War Department. Instead, he gave conflicting orders that guaranteed that the planes remained on the ground all morning so that they would be damaged. The destruction of the bombers in the Philippines comprised half of all U.S. heavy bombers in the world and was more damaging than the destruction of the military and defense equipment at Pearl Harbor. MacArthur was either complicit in a plan to permit massive damage and the eventual relinquishment of the islands, or he was thoroughly incompetent. If he were that incompetent, he would have been reprimanded. Instead, he remained commander of the U.S. forces, got a promotion and a Congressional Medal of Honor. Is that something or what? Okay, so getting back to what happened when the Japanese came on board at Manila, which they did on January 2nd, 1942. The Japanese entered Manila. And Major General Wainwright's men, with their old and defective World War I Enfield rifles, were unable to prevent Japan's invading General Masaharu from advancing to Manila. Apparently, they had no... How do you like that? Old weapons, they were... It was like shooting fish in a barrel, okay? Apparently, they had no choice but to flee. Filipino and American forces outnumbered the Japanese invaders by 3-2, but numerical superiority was insufficient because they were so poorly trained and equipped. Remember, MacArthur was supposed to train them. He was too busy at the country club. The United States had planned to increase armaments, but they only met 20% of their artillery requirements, so they were insufficiently equipped. To save Manila from utter destruction, leaders declared it an open city. Wainwright and his men, according to Plan Orange, withdrew from Manila to Bataan, where there would ultimately be over 100,000 refugees. Unfortunately, MacArthur had failed to make adequate logistical preparations in Bataan, as the military left most of the food and other supplies on the beaches and were consequently lost, possibly to opportunists who would soon make a fortune in the black market. On Bataan, the starving and battled 26th Cavalry eventually had to shoot and eat their horses. The Filipinos took advantage of the chaos in Manila and were killing each other, settling old scores, and eliminating enemies. Rape, robbery, and looting were widespread. Ferdinand Marcos, on the American side, took this opportunity to eliminate the man who had testified against him when Marcos murdered his stepfather's political opponent. His biological father, Judge Ferdinand Chua, then exonerated him and escaped incarceration. Chua, who people considered Marcos' godfather, also paid his way through law school. The economy of Luzon, the largest island, was a disaster. People were starving as thugs had seized the crops. Gangs roamed the streets. Currency was worthless, and people paid gemstones or gold for whatever food they could find on the black market, a devious way of acquiring valuables from desperate people. So all you people who are buying gold, you better hide it. Residents abandoned homes, factories, and warehouses. General MacArthur regularly relied on staff officers and stayed as far away from the enemy as possible. On January 9, 1942, he left Corregidor on a PT boat and made his first and only visit back to the peninsula. American troop reinforcements and supplies, as per Plan Orange, were on their way across the Pacific, but quite curiously, Roosevelt recalled them. Reportedly, the United States government needed the food and men more urgently in Europe than in the Philippines. Was it poor planning, poor judgment, or deliberate defeat? I would say it's deliberate defeat. This was a death knell for troops who had been fighting for 9 long weeks. On January 17, 1942, the Japanese-sponsored Manila Tribune announced, and I quote, "Tojo promises freedom in 1943. On February 2nd, from Corregidor, the Voice of Freedom reminded the Filipinos that they could not trust the Japanese. Well, of course, we know that they couldn't trust the Americans, too. That seemed incredibly hypocritical, considering the U.S. government had just recalled promised supplies and reinforcements. On February 4, 1942, the submarine Trout arrived at Corregidor to transfer the Philippine Treasury's gold. I don't think they ever got it back either, folks. Many Filipinos, especially the privileged class like Jose P. Laurel, the occupation puppet, president from 1943 to 1945, chose to collaborate with the Japanese in order to survive. They felt that the U.S. Army forces far east had abandoned them to a cruel and bitter fate. Gosh, I wonder why they thought that. On February 20th, 1942, Quezon, ill from tunnel life, and Osmeña, and other members of the presidential party, left Corregidor for Mindanao, where they stayed until March 11, 1942, when MacArthur abandoned the disease-ridden, starving troops, army nurses, American civilians, and many others who could testify about his abject incompetence. The entire group left the Philippines for Australia sometime in April. Public relations releases from Corregidor salvaged MacArthur's reputation and portrayed him as a war hero. Quezon then went to America, never to return to the Philippines. Vice President Osmeña became president in exile. For ballast, MacArthur had his men load 20 tons of gold into the U.S. submarine that would soon be leaving for Australia, where Roosevelt promoted him to Supreme Allied Commander of the Southwest Pacific Area. MacArthur left behind him a huge military fiasco, vowing to return. He abandoned 20,000 exhausted soldiers who remained in the Philippines and subsisted on a third of a ration per day. Wainwright stayed with the troops and took control on March 23, 1942. Bataan fell on April 9, 1942. Corregidor fell on May 6. As many as 8,000 Filipino and 2,000 Americans perished from malaria, starvation, beatings, and executions during the infamous Bataan Death March to Camp O'Donnell. This is just the worst. On April 9, 1942, about 66,000 Filipino and 12,000 U.S. troops surrendered to the Japanese in Bataan, the largest numerical reversal ever suffered by an American force in a single engagement with a foreign foe. The Japanese intended to force march the prisoners from Bataan to San Fernando, about 60 miles. From San Fernando, the Japanese transported the prisoners by train to concentration camps in central Luzon. The troops had been fighting, and many were sick, undernourished, and wounded. The Japanese guards were hostile, cruel, and made no concessions for the debilitated condition of their captives. They made no provisions for the sick and provided only meager amounts of food and water. The men were organized into groups of 100, situated in four columns, and forced marched for miles. The majority of them were suffering from malaria, severe diarrhea, or dysentery, symptoms of their recent starvation and lack of sanitation. The men were not allowed to leave their assigned column to relieve themselves at the side of the road. One survivor recounted, and I quote, "You would just release wherever you were, on yourself or somebody else. Without food, it was water more than anything," unquote. The guards beat the men in the head with their rifle butts to keep the long lines of sick and struggling men moving. Those who could not keep up were lassoed with a long black snake whip and dragged to death behind a truck. According to survivors, Korean guards were even more barbaric than the Japanese soldiers. The Japanese hated both the Koreans and Americans, not because of ethnicity, but because they surrendered instead of choosing self-inflicted death. Therefore, they had absolutely no mercy on the Americans, even the sick and wounded. They were beaten with thick, stinging stalks of sugarcane for the most minor infraction. The men were not allowed any water during their march in the hot sun. If they broke out of line in an attempt to drink water from any marshes along the way, the guards shot them. The prisoners received insufficient amounts of water at night before the guards enclosed them in overcrowded barbed wire cages. There were no toilet facilities, and the men had to sit in filth and the feces of those who inhabited the indescribably stinking putrid enclosures the night before. At San Fernando, 100 men were jammed into each boxcar, where there was standing room only. When the guards closed the doors, it was like an oven. One survivor wrote, and I quote, "Men fainted with no place to fall. As the car swayed, the urine, the sweat, and the vomit rolled 3 inches deep back and forth, around and in our shoes," unquote. The trains were destined for Camp O'Donnell, a former U.S. Army base. Japan had not signed the Geneva Conventions regarding the treatment of POWs. Therefore, Red Cross provisions never reached the camp. Not that signing or not signing made any difference to any country who imprisoned their enemies. The Japanese camp guards ignored the prisoners, who were regularly dying from malaria, dysentery, diphtheria, and dry beriberi. Bodies piled up because graves couldn't. This is difficult, and you know how I am. bodies piled up because graves could not be dug quickly enough to accommodate the numbers of the dead. Holes could not be deeper than 4 feet because of the high water table. Instead, many corpses were faded for watery graves. A U.S. soldier on a burial detail said, and I quote, "While we shoveled dirt on them, we had to hold them down with poles. Otherwise, they'd float. At night, the dogs went wild. They'd dig up the graves to get at the bodies," unquote. The Japanese captured 132,134 Anglo-American prisoners during World War II. We'll be right back.
Hey, meat eaters, the freeze-dried guy wants to know, does your emergency food supply meet the standards for survival? Then get the 144-day meat variety unit from the freeze-dried guy. Our meat units utilize only quality Mountain House freeze-dried cooked ground chicken and ground beef, the undisputed choice for great taste and highest nutrition. The freeze-dried guy's 144-day meat variety unit includes 6 number 10 cans of the very best freeze-dried animal protein for power you'll need when the going gets tough. Every Meat Eater's 144-day meat variety unit comes with a free medical kit and always free shipping to the lower 48. Need more than 144 days? See our one-year-plus Meat Eater's units at freezedryguy.com. And hey, the Freeze Dry Guy still has LRP rations, but they're going fast. Don't wait until tomorrow. Call now, 866-404-3663. That's 866-404-3663. Or go to freezedryguy.com and meet the standards for survival.
$4, $5, $6, even $7 a gallon? According to fuel industry insiders and economic experts, those are the forecasted fuel prices, with no end in sight. Fight back fuel prices with a fuel saver from airfusionsystems.com. These fuel savers can save you from 20 to 40%. They're designed to fit any vehicle from compacts to SUVs to transport trucks. The fuel saver works on all gas, diesel, even propane engines. Easy do-it-yourself installation in about 15 minutes. And the best part? No engine modifications, no computer chipping, no running wires, no chemicals, no water, no running costs, and no maintenance. And these fuel savers come complete with all parts and accessories. See how it works at airfusionsystems.com, spelled A-I-R-F-U-S-I-O-N, systems.com. Or call 888-887-9981, 888-887-9981. Fuel savers from airfusionsystems.com. Save fuel, save money, save earth.
Are you concerned about fluoride, chlorine, parasites, and other contaminants in your drinking water? Dalton ceramic water filters have been made continuously since 1827 and are used by disaster relief organizations and in third world countries to supply safe drinking water. Not only do we offer gravity filter systems, but also under the sink and countertop systems. Our replacement filters can be used to upgrade your existing system. And unlike some other filters on the market, Dalton filters do not have to be primed. For more information, call us at 800-696-1435, 800-696-1435, or order online at dalton.com. That's DOULTON.com.
And we are back. This is Deanna. As I said, before the break, the Japanese captured 132,134 Anglo-American prisoners during World War II. Of that number, 35,756, or 27%, died in captivity. Now, we don't hear a lot about this, and if you read the accurate history, then you come to understand that MacArthur is a very questionable man when you read about some of the other stuff that he has pulled. And of course, we don't hear about this in the mainstream press or in the official version of history. Now, Douglas MacArthur was the son of Arthur MacArthur. And Arthur MacArthur had been in the Philippines much earlier. In fact, he was there when the United States first invaded the Philippines. And the United States controlled the Philippines from the time they invaded it up until 1935-36 and even after that. And MacArthur originally, well, the younger MacArthur, Douglas, was in the Philippines in 1904, and he spent several months in San Francisco. And then he accompanied his father, the commander of the Army's Pacific Division, on an extensive inspection tour of Asia after the Russo-Japanese War. And during the next 16 years, he had worked in Washington under Chief of Staff Leonard Wood. Now, it's very interesting that that the older General MacArthur would travel all throughout Asia. I think they were just on a fact-finding mission to see what kind of military operations they had, and also to assess assets. And in the fall of 1934, President Quezon visited Douglas MacArthur in the U.S. to see if he would come back and supervise the Philippine Army because of the Japanese aggression. And so Douglas MacArthur went to the Philippines in October 1935, and he became very active in Freemasonry in the islands. And MacArthur was very flamboyant. He decided that he would design his own uniform, which included black pants, a white tunic, a braided cap, a gold baton, and all these medals and stars and gold cord to impress the most impressionable person. And Quezon built MacArthur a luxurious penthouse with a spectacular view of Manila Bay atop the newly renovated Manila Hotel. Now, with all of these activities, no wonder he didn't have time to actually train anybody. And he became the director for the posh Manila Hotel and received generous shares of Benque mining stock. Now, Benque was a gold mining company. Meanwhile, people accused him of neglecting his military responsibilities, including maintaining 22,000 U.S. and 8,000 Filipino soldiers. Well, I guess that's what he did, but he sure had a good time. And, you know, at the country club and at the hotel and, you know, with his Freemason friends. What can I say? Have a great weekend, folks, and thanks for listening today.